That's a lot of it is like this dysregulation, overstimulation. We're like being pulled in a million directions, sensory overload. And so being able to just like slow it down a little bit so that we can even think, what do I need right now? Or what is the next step? Or what am I frustrated about? You know, because sometimes it's.
Hey, Mama, welcome to the Balanced Mom Method podcast, a safe space to help you transform the way that you approach motherhood and life. If you're a mom struggling with self-worth, overwhelmed with overstimulation, looking to slow down, conquer mom guilt, let go of external pressures, or even embark on a spiritual awakening, you are in the right place. Let's break free from that survival mode cycle by waking up from autopilot and authentically embracing our inner self-love, trust, and connection. Imagine if every single part of your life was perceived through a lens of expansion, value, worthiness, self-awareness, and acceptance. Hey, I'm Jenna, and I've been where you are. I was consumed in the struggles of motherhood and was always in my own head, never feeling good enough. I realized if I wanted to make a change, it started within me. And in finding that freedom, I've dedicated my life's work to helping other moms heal from the inside out to come back home to themselves too. So take my hand, Mama. Let's set the foundation to live an intentional life full of peace, presence, confidence, clarity, belief, joy, love, and balance. If you are ready to weed the fluff, get to the root of cultivating real change, and feel connected to yourself on a love-rooted level, let's dive in and discover the power within you. Warm up that cold coffee, pop in your earbuds, and tighten that top knot, Mama. Let's overcome together. Hello, hello, beautiful mamas, and welcome back to another episode of the Balanced Mom Method podcast. This is your host and intuitive life mentor, Jenna Smith, and I am here today so eager to welcome another inspiring, amazing guest on the show, Liz Kent. Liz is a dedicated professional with a passion for helping overwhelmed moms on their journey to decrease resentment, by golly, hallelujah, and to increase communication and connection. It's such a beautiful trifecta. I can't wait to dive in. She has a therapy practice. Liz, she specializes in maternal mental health, as well as being a coach for other moms, really just helping them break free from that mental load to feel present in their lives. I'm so excited, Liz. I want to pass over the mic to you just to share more about who you are, how you came to this impactful service.
Yeah, I feel like you just gave me a nicer introduction than I could have given myself. That was so lovely. Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I'm Liz, and I have been a therapist for almost 16 years now. So, and I have three kids. They're 9, 7, and 4. And after my 9-year-old was born, I just experienced the transition to motherhood and how challenging it was and just totally rocked my world. And so I started taking trainings on perinatal mental health and just kind of getting networked with other professionals in the area, lactation consultants and doulas and all those kinds of things, and really honed in on that in my therapy practice. And so I've been doing that for almost the last like 10 years. And I love that. I love helping moms, supporting moms. It's been neat over the years. I've seen some clients who I saw them through their first pregnancy, and then I was able to kind of support them through pregnancies after that, which has been really cool. And then that has sort of evolved as my own motherhood journey has evolved, as my kids have gotten a little bit older, and I'm kind of like in a little bit of a different stage of just the chaos of like running kids all over the place and keeping up with all the things that they have to bring into school and, you know, just all the things that moms carry in the mental load, all the school forms and the sports registrations and the getting everybody where they need to be and whose birthday party is this weekend and all of that. So I've become really passionate about helping moms with that because I think it's a huge issue. And so many moms, pretty much every mom that I talk to in my practice or personally feels the same way. Just kind of overwhelmed. Like there's too many tabs open in the brain. One mom said to me, I feel like I'm so busy coordinating and planning my life that I can't enjoy my life. And so, you know, I think that resonates with a lot of moms. And so my passion is really to help moms feel like they're able to be present and engaged with their families and figure out how do they manage this mental load in a culture that's not really super supportive of that.
Yeah, that's, gosh, everything that you just said, I'm like, tell me more. But what that last, you know, sentence that you just said We live in such a go, go, go. We talk about that a lot on the show. The go, 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 the external pressures, the shoulds, how what we should be doing to be, quote unquote, XYZ, like whatever you have on this, pedestal. Gosh, so tell me, like, how going back to like your earlier days, how did you kind of get out of that hole? Was it kind of just not a hole, but was it the education? Was it kind of mastering your practice, and you kind of interwebbed your personal life also? Kind of tell me more about
I
that.
think a lot of pieces. I think, yes, it definitely took some time, like my own therapy and healing journey from and just transitioning into motherhood, getting more comfortable with it, figuring out, learning from my mistakes of like the things that I had really high expectations for myself or for for my baby or my husband, and being able to kind of learn over time. I feel like with each kid, like subsequently, I kind of got a little bit more flexible, adapted a little bit more, learned some more things, talking to more moms, honestly, like just the authenticity of, I feel like because of what I do, if I meet a mom at a playground, it's easy to just start talking about the stresses of motherhood, where otherwise people are kind of nervous to say that in front of other people. And so it's, I get into a lot of conversations where people are like, oh my gosh, yes, I feel that. And so over time, I've just learned like how much more common it is. So getting training, and I also made a shift in my career. When I had my first baby, I was like working full time in a special ed school, actually. So it was like a pretty intense job, and being able to transition into private practice and really focus on a niche that I was super interested in personally took a lot of the stress off too, so that I could balance things better.
I bet, I bet. And I mean, just praise, like, and bless to be that person to shed or shine light on vulnerability. The power of vulnerability. I feel like it's becoming more normalized and it's more
Yeah.
open.
Brené Brown helps with
I said, I know, right? Like, that's of course who I thought of when I said that,
Yeah.
the power of vulnerability. But it's, I mean, I just, if you're listening to this show, like, there is no weakness in being vulnerable. Like, that's where the light comes. Like, those shadows come up. You might feel like you're doing things wrong because those shadows start to come up and things feel hard. But gosh, like, the beauty that comes, it's very rewarding and healing and peaceful.
Yeah, and just feeling like you're not isolated in it, you know,
Yeah.
that you're not alone, that there is a community of moms who get it and want to support each other, you know, even if it's just like through kind of a distance of like, I got you, I get this.
Yeah, of course. So, kind of with that connection piece, do you support moms like in finding communities, or is it more like connection based with their families? Tell me kind of how you do you have like a method?
So I have a, you know, a whole coaching course where we would walk through a lot of these steps. And the connection piece is really with your family, but also I think just the asking for help and receiving help and building community, because that comes up a lot. I am lucky enough that I have some local extended family, and I recognize like how much support that provides. And for women who are mothering young kids without a lot of support, that you kind of have to build a community, and sometimes that requires a lot of vulnerability. Sometimes kind of stepping out of your comfort zone to connect with other people and figure out, can we trade off babysitting on one day a week or whatever, how can we support each other? So working with that, but really just like the engagement and being present with our families. And I think the resentment piece happens a lot with our partners and spouses, but also happens like towards our kids and towards society. And so helping to kind of break down some of that so that you can just feel like I can be engaged with my kids and I don't feel disgruntled about it or, you know, frustrated with everybody in my home where we spend the most time.
Totally. So, do you mind like talking through some steps of like how to do that, to be present, to maybe reframe your mindset? Like, yeah, share some magic.
Well, I think like the number one thing I would say is that mom, taking care of mom is like the most important thing. And I think we often lose sight of that, that we're so busy taking care of everybody else. And this is, you know, women in general, but moms in particular, I think get stuck in this, and we're so busy taking on so many things that we just push ourselves and our own needs to the bottom of the list. And so being able to figure out ways, first of all, to recognize that and to recognize like what things are particularly stressing us out, where do we need to build in some different self-care practices or other things to just feel better and take time to do something with a friend or go do something. I love, have you read Eve Rodsky's book, Fair Play?
No.
It's so good. It's about like the inequity of mental labor in two
Okay.
partner homes. And it's so great. But she talks about unicorn space, like having something that you're passionate about is which like that's what she calls it,
I
where
love
you're
that.
just have something that's kind of like just for you. And so often moms lose that piece in their identity of like the things that we liked to do before motherhood. I mean, even just you think when you meet your kids' friends, like I'm Jonah's mom, I'm not Liz or Mrs. Kent or whatever, like you're always just somebody's mom. And I mean, even I have people saved in my cell phone as like so and so's mom, like a kid, mom of a friend of one of my kids. And so figuring out that, like, what can you do and how can you make that work? And then how can you communicate that with your family? Because I know there's a lot of mom guilt around that. There's a lot of guilt around leaving our kids to do something for ourselves. We don't feel like we should be doing that. We feel like we should be taking care of them all the time. And I really believe, like, the cup analogy of you can't pour from an empty cup. I mean, you think about an airplane, if you're sitting next to a kid, they say, put your oxygen mask on first because you can't help them if you do that. And just really reminding moms of the power of that and how important it is and how much it benefits everybody else in your family if you're taking care of yourself. And that doesn't always, I think we often think like self-care is like, oh, I go get my nails done or I take a bubble bath. And those are, fun indulgences, but they're not things that we can always build in practically all the time. And they're great if you can, but just even thinking about how do you build in small moments of like mindfulness and practice like breathing and focusing on like the things that we need to just take care of our body. Sleep is like such an underrated one, like prioritizing your sleep. Which, I mean, it's hard for moms because by the time you get kids to bed at night, you want to like just scroll on your phone or like totally space out. But the sleep piece is just so important to being able to take care of ourselves, like the basics of fitting in movement and,
Well,
nutrition
that's
and
exactly. And because you said the basics, and I want to say, like, disclaimer here, what I'm about to say, it's simple, but it might not be easy, right? Because ask yourself those questions. You said this a little earlier. What brings you joy? Like, what makes you feel like you? Like, these are simple concepts. Sleeping, like, it's instinctive, like, our bodies have to sleep. But it's so not easy to do. So finding this is something really, foundational core within how I work with moms too, because it's not something that we think is the answer. I mean, in a nutshell, like we don't think like there's some external, there's something outside of me that's the
It's gonna be
answer.
something bigger, yeah.
And it's not.
Yeah.
So when you brought up guilt and like feeling that you might feel selfish or guilt about like taking time for yourself. What, how can you kind of overcome, help moms overcome that limiting belief, I guess?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think acknowledging that you're feeling like that is important and being able to have some conversation around that. And I think sometimes also as moms, we're afraid to kind of like have these open conversations with our kids. And obviously they have to be age appropriate, but I think I explain to my kids, like, I'm a better mom if I also get to like hang out with my friends sometime, or I get to like do something by myself. And then I can come back and be present and like be engaged with them and being able to have that communication both with, your partner, if you have one, and with your kids, and helping them to understand. And in that, we're like also modeling how important it is to practice self-care and to do those things and teaching them that they're valuable enough to do that too.
Yes, I love that example because my oldest is 5 and I talk to him like an adult. Like, and I'm okay if it goes over your mind or it goes over your head, that's fine. But we were just having this conversation like last week. My husband got home from work, took them. I'm like, Jameson, I need I need a minute. You know, it was spring
Yeah.
break. It was spring break week. So I'm like,
Yeah. Yeah.
I need a minute. I've overextended all the activities. Like, I just need some me time. And so we
Yeah.
took them, and Jace was just distraught. He's like, "Mommy, why aren't you coming with?" And he's tears flowing. He's like my little Velcro sensitive little boy.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm like, "You're five." Like, I didn't say you're five, but I'm like, "You're five, but I'm going to say this because you're setting that example for them to set those boundaries, to know to listen to yourself, to be confident in speaking what you need." I think that that's so powerful.
Yeah. Even just like if you need to take 5 minutes when you're getting overstimulated or frustrated, like I will just say, I need 5 minutes, or this is like overstimulating. I need you to like turn the music down or whatever it is, because I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed and I'm not going to be able to like, I'm going to start getting frustrated and
Yeah.
you know what that looks like. So,
Yeah. Yep. We
but
have
give,
different levels. Yeah.
yeah, giving them that model that it's okay to do that. I think we think that it's not like in society, we're taught that we're just not supposed to show any negative emotions and we're supposed to keep it all buttoned up. And that's not realistic. Nobody can do that. And the more we can, just be open about it in like a respectful way, then we can learn to do that reciprocally for other people too,
Yeah. So talk to me a little about communication, like how to prioritize your needs and effectively communicate that to others, spouse, friends, family, kids.
Yeah, I think this is probably particularly tricky with like spouses. I know a lot of women feel like I can't talk to my husband about that. He doesn't understand. I'm kind of going back to like the basics of communication and how we have to think about the timing and the way we're presenting the message. So often I think we get stuck in these cycles of like you're frustrated, you lash out, they don't respond well, nothing gets resolved, and it just happens over and over again. And I can't tell you how many times I've said to therapy clients, like, you have to bring this up when it's not happening, when things feel good, because that's the time to talk about it and have a rational conversation where you can actually discuss it reasonably. So one thing that has worked really well for my husband and I, we started doing this maybe 6 or 7 years ago, is we have a night every week where we sit down and we just talk about what's going on in our lives. And so after the kids go to bed on Wednesdays, and the kids know, we're like, this is our time. You can't come in 10 million times and ask for a drink of water. Like you're just gonna have to fend for yourself on Wednesday nights. And we just like, what's going on in my world? What are you worried about? And talk about the kids, like what kind of things. And that's where we've had some of our best conversations about parenting together, in like, how do we handle this? And this is what I'm, because a lot of times in the moment, like one of you gets frustrated with the kid and you make some irrational, like, I'm going to take this toy away or throw this thing out the window or something, something that you can't really, you're not really going to follow up with threats. And then you never really come back to it. Like, how's a better way to deal with this? And so we kind of bring up those general themes of like, what's this kid going through in school or socially or whatever? And what can we do to support them and guide them and just like speak wisdom into them so that we're more on the same page? So setting that time aside, and it's very much like we don't do other things typically. We've probably missed like half a dozen in the last 6 years because we were like traveling or something, but we've really built that in as like, this is a priority that needs to happen during the week. And I know people say like, I don't have time, I'm too busy. And if it's important enough,
Right. Exactly.
you have to make the time for it. So it's
Yeah.
not easy, but I think that that's really important, because then you're kind of starting with a clean slate of just, you're not coming into it with these like, I'm frustrated with you about this. You're having some neutrality in the conversation, and that just puts like a different spin on it.
Oh, totally. It's neutral. It's exactly what you said. You're both neutral in that emotional state because if one's heightened, the other one's going to want to talk about it right now, but it's not going to be rational. It's not going to be, that it's going to just escalate. And same with kids. I'm picturing again my 5-year-old. It's like me keeping my shit together because he is heightened and frustrated or flustered. And yeah, it's husa.
And I mean, just also like you're coming at it from a little bit more of a collaborative perspective that way too. Like, particularly around parenting discussions, when it's between like husband and wife, spouse and spouse, That's between the two of you. But I think if you can frame it in this conversation of like, what are we doing together to kind of make our work lives, our parenting lives, our relationship better, then it feels more like a team effort and not just like one person attacking the other person.
Oh, you just said my next question. So resentment just popped in my mind. So how do you present, like, if you're just building up this resentment towards, let's say, your spouse, since we're kind of on that degree, how do you bring that up, to kind of not poke at being attacked or feeling like, I don't even know what I'm trying to say.
I mean, I think it's so hard because there's so many things that moms are carrying that like they might not even realize that they're carrying all the load of. And so I think we have to start identifying those things to be able to bring them up and kind of talking about like, hey, I'm carrying a lot of the load of this. And I know that's a really hard conversation to have. And a lot of women will say like that their spouse will give them pushback on that or say, well, you don't have to do all those things. And so often women then just like jump in and do it themselves because they want it done a certain way, right? So in that Fair Play book, she talks about kind of like your minimum standard for things. What's the minimum standard? So if it's like a cleanliness thing or a grocery shopping thing or whatever, kind of you both have to agree on like what's the minimum standard. So you might want more, but if you've both agreed on the minimum standard and they're going to take that over, we're going to talk about them taking that over, then you have to be okay with how that's done, like letting go of the control a little bit. Because I think that's where a lot of the resentment comes from is like we want to be in control, but we also don't want to do all of the, we actually don't want the responsibility of all of it.
Right. But we want it done a certain way.
But we want it done a certain way, or we know how to do it better, or often we're with the kids more so we can like read what's going on with them better. We know how to respond because we just have more practice at it. Some intuition. I think there is some mom intuition there.
Of
But,
course, of course.
and I think moms are also the ones who like are reading the parenting books and listening to the podcast and like getting all this information. And because we want to. And so we also have to let our partners know like why that's important and not just be annoyed that they're not doing it too, you know?
Yeah, I'll bring up another book. I read this book twice in the last couple of years. It's called Live Free by Devin Franklin. Have you heard of it? I read it.
No, I haven't, but I'm going to write it down.
So it's all about expectations. And I mean, he speaks in every capacity. We're still on spouse, but spouse, professional, like ev everything, family, extended family. And just in a gist, it's speaking your expectations, because all the time, like, we make this story, this whole movie line in our heads. And that's when the resentment builds. That's when maybe the shame builds, pending what that expectation is. So if we have an expectation, are we communicating it? And
Exactly.
then, is it received? So
Right.
it's, there's multiple layers, and it
Right.
opens up that can of worms to have hard conversations.
Yeah. And people
But
don't have to do that because it is hard, but
exactly.
that's how you kind of have to get through it.
It's how you grow, right? It's how you grow, evolve. It's how, just again, speaking with that spouse, but you could insert any loved one in this equation. If you want to grow together and not grow
Yeah.
apart in that resentment, I feel like there's something so powerful in that. Like, just
Yeah.
rip the band-aid. I've told my husband, I'm like, I have to rip the band-aid and just say this right now. And if
Yeah.
it might sound irrational, but this is how I've been feeling. And then let's step back, and I could dissect it a little bit. But
Yeah.
I'm gonna say
Well, I
it to the
think,
best of my ability.
yeah, what you just said of like, this is how I'm feeling, even if it sounds irrational to you, is important to an important message to sometimes communicate because the other person might not agree with it or might not think that it's something worth talking about. But if you can get to a place of understanding that it's still your feelings, our feelings are our feelings, you know, what we do with them is what we have control over. That's what I tell my kids all the time, too.
That's me too. That's exactly
You can be
it.
angry, but you can't punch your brother.
Right.
To find a better way to deal with it. Just kind of being able to have that conversation of like, this is what I'm feeling. You might not agree, but you respect it. And how can we kind of figure out a way to work or move forward given
Exactly.
that? So.
Oh, this has been like the past 5 years of my life have been that in the thick of the hard. It's like, but here I am, like, bring the shadows in, like, let it all come to surface. And it's been so hard, but so beautiful, because that dance of, Well,
there's that vulnerability piece, like you mentioned, you know, I mean, just the what comes from that and being able to like really be authentic and vulnerable with somebody, which is hard, but it deepens the relationships. It makes you so much more connected with people.
Yeah, and yourself. I mean, just that inner weight is lifted, and the peace, like you feel the peace and the ease comes back, because like you know things are going to be hard, you know shit's going to hit the fan again, but you know how to ground, you know how to feel, you know how to move through it, even though it is hard, you know. You just get better, and it takes that first step, which is always in anything the hardest, right?
And it's always a work in progress, right? Like, I certainly do not, by any stretch of the means, advertise myself as like, I have figured this all out, you know, but it's always a work in progress and always working towards, you know, that goal of let's do better, let's learn more, you know, how can I be better at this?
Yeah, when you're open to being aware of that constant, it's a constant journey. You're constantly growing, evolving, falling back, growing, evolving, you know, all the lessons. It's like that acceptance piece of, okay, this is what it is, and here we
Yeah,
go.
that's humanity. I mean, that's part of being human, is that it's not going to just, we're not going to reach this magical point where everything is perfect, but it could be a lot better.
So stress, overwhelm. When someone comes at you and they're just like, where do I start? And it probably, it's never cookie cutter, I'm sure. But if someone is just so overwhelmed, overstimulated, stressed with all the to-dos, kind of what is that first step that you kind of help them walk them through?
That's a great question. I think physiologically, kind of looking at what's going on, because as we just learn more and more of how our bodies and our minds are connected, kind of the stress response on our bodies. So you just really, again, it sounds basic, but it's not as easy as we would like it to be. It's just like slowing down our breathing and just to be able to kind of like slow our thoughts down. And there's two tricks that I like to teach people. One is called progressive muscle relaxation, which I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's basically tensing and relaxing each muscle group paired with breathing. So as you inhale, you tense your forehead, and then you exhale, release it, and you move through your body. And you can like abbreviate this. You can do it in the carpal line. You can do it laying in bed, but it's such a good way to like physiologically like calm our systems. And at the same time, your brain has to kind of think about the breathing and what comes next. So it's nothing taxing, but it kind of takes your mind off of, if you're having like ruminating thoughts or you're getting really frustrated, you can, it kind of like neutralizes that a little bit. So that's a really great one.
What is that called again? I'm sorry.
Progressive muscle relaxation.
Okay. It's well, because it's like body scan with breath work, with it. I just love how that was just coupled together. Oh my gosh, progressive
I
muscle.
love it because when I worked in special ed, we used to teach it to the students. And so to teach like an elementary school age kid with like emotional disability to be able to use that as a strategy, I'm like, anybody can use it, you know, if you can teach it to kids who are super dysregulated. So I think that's a lot of it, is like this dysregulation, overstimulation. We're like being pulled in a million directions, sensory overload. And so being able to just like slow it down a little bit so that we can even think, what do I need right now? Or what is the next step? Or what am I frustrated about? You know, because sometimes it's like, I think I always give this example of like when you're cooking dinner, and like my house is like an island, so you can run around in the kit like all the way through the main floor. And if you're cooking dinner and the kids are running through this like that loop, and you're trying to like go from counter to fridge, you know, and everything is just like, it just makes it feel so chaotic. And so being able to slow down and like, is it the cooking that's like, it's not making dinner that's stressful, right? It's like the extra stuff that's happening and kids getting underfoot and you feeling like you're going to spill something or burn somebody. And so kind of being able to tease some of those things out too, so that you can figure out like, what is triggering this stress for me? Because it's not necessarily, you know, the cooking, the making dinner, or whatever it is, it might be some of the other pieces that are going on with that.
Yeah, it's like the slowdown to be able to connect and identify, like, okay, what actually is it, versus we get so quick to jump to the conclusion, where what is the solution? How can I fix this? Let's take that step back and let's focus on, okay, what is it?
Instead of just reacting, because I think that's, we do that a lot of just like, reacting, and then kind of thinking about like, is this a rational thing to be stressed or worried about? And we get into a lot of like black and white thinking and, cognitive distortions, it's called, when our brain kind of thinks we're in the truth and we're maybe a little bit skewed from that. So kind of being able to check in with somebody else or slow down and think, is this an this always happens? Is it an all or nothing? Probably not, and checking the rationality of what we're worried about or what we're stressed about, and how can we adapt based on the answer to that.
Sure. Gosh, I love that answer. So I have another personal question for you. And I started asking everyone on the show this. And you kind of touched on mom's intuition already, but I want to speak to like your intuition. How thinking just kind of in the decisions that you've made progressively throughout your just journey of motherhood business, can you discern between that intuition, like when you're following that intuition, when you feel so connected to like I know, like I know, like I know, like I know this is what it is.
Yeah, it's so funny you ask that because I just had a new client yesterday who's a relatively new mom, and she was talking about the first few months of the baby's life and feeling like something wasn't right with like the feeding, and the baby wasn't gaining weight. And she was like, something is wrong. And her husband and other people were like, no, it's fine. It's fine. Everything looks fine. And then like come to find out, like the baby had a tongue tie or lip tie or something, and it wasn't getting enough food. And she's like, I knew something was wrong. And I
Got
was like,
chills.
yeah. And I was like, okay, well, so great. Now you know what that feels like, and you don't have to doubt it next time. Because in that moment, the first time you experience that, you're like, am I crazy? Or what? I recently had an experience where my 7-year-old, I just had this like suspicion that she had ADHD. We have with other women in the family. But she's not like the kid flailing all over the out of her chair, being super disruptive. She's very, very like well behaved in school, loves school, super motivated. And I was like, I just feel like there is something, And so we went through the whole process, got her diagnosed by like a psychologist. I mean, obviously I have some clinical background in that piece as well. But my husband said to me afterwards, he was like, gosh, if I was married to somebody else who didn't have your background, like I would have never known to even ask about that. And I was like, I just knew that this is what was going on with her. And so it was very affirming to hear it from somebody else, like an outsider who doesn't know the situation. But I think the more that happens, the more you can learn to kind of trust that of like, I know what my kid needs. Not always, obviously, like we're not perfect, but when you kind of have that gut instinct of like, there's just something that's not right, or they need something different, or just being able to like trust that I think there's
Or
something very like profound about like you grew them in your body. Like, there's just a connection that is not going to be there with a dad, another parent.
Of
There's just
course.
that piece of your
Yeah,
life.
so okay, tell me your thought too on this. It just sparked another idea of maybe someone would be scared, like to follow that intuition of like, oh, I don't want to be wrong. What if I'm wrong? Oh my gosh, then I open this can of worms at the doctor and they're not diagnosed. However, to me, I still think there was a reason that you still followed through. There's still a reason for why, like, tell me your thoughts on that.
Oh, that's such a good question. Gosh. I mean, I think in that particular case, like even if you didn't get like exactly the outcome, there was something else that maybe you learned or figured out along the way that is still helping you or your kid. And I think that it's still really valuable to like kind of go through that and understand that there is a piece of it that's helpful. You're learning something that's giving them a better strategy, or you a better strategy, or figuring out just the advocacy piece, because we have to advocate for our kids in lots of situations where they can't do it for themselves yet. So I think that's a part of it too, is knowing that like we're the ones to advocate for them when they need something in, school accommodations or medically or whatever. They can't speak up for themselves. And so even if you didn't really get exactly where you wanted, you at least got the practice of going through that process and figuring out like, what does it feel like to advocate? How could I do it better next time? Why is it important to advocate for them? Which I think is also a good lesson that we can need to advocate for our own needs and things too.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, beautiful answer. There's always that lesson. And also, I mean, because it just kind of came to me to be able to just really drive this home of empowering to, not be shameful or to not feel bad or like it's okay. Like, don't hold that judgment piece.
We bring so much like shame and guilt. Not we bring it, but we experience so much of that. I think there's just, and back to what you said about expectations, just cultural expectations. Social media does not help because we see what we think other people are doing. And I think one of the biggest things I've learned is just like, you got to do what works for your family. Everybody in your family are individual. I have five individual people in my family that is totally different than another family with five people, And so I'm trying to figure out all of their needs and our needs as a family, and that's going to look different for people.
Exactly. Oh, Liz, well, tell us where we can find you. This has been a beautiful conversation.
Yeah, this is so fun. So my therapy practice, I'm just licensed in Maryland and Pennsylvania. So therapy regulations are a little bit antiquated, and then we can only see people in the states where we're licensed. So my therapy practice is Perissos Therapy. It's Perissos, which is super hard to spell and pronounce. Did not think about that when I named it. It means abundantly exceeding expectations. So it's like such a great meaning, and it's so hard to say. But once I had it, I stuck with it. And then I also have my coaching business, and I have a Facebook group where I do live trainings and tips and strategies and other resources. And that's Liz Kent Coaching. The group is called Mental Load Mastery for Moms. And I'm on Instagram at liz.kent.coaching.
Awesome. I will put all that in the show notes
Yeah,
for
that's awesome.
listeners to be able to easily find that. And thank you so much for spending this time
Yeah.
with us and for your space and energy. This was just a joy. So thank you
Yeah,
so
it was so fun. Thank you for having
much.
me.
Thank you. Thank you. And until next week, my mamas, as always, simply be you. You have everything inside of you to learn your energy of alignment and deepen your relationship within. We are sending our love and light. Thank you so much for spending this sacred time with me on the Balanced Mom with the podcast. I am sending you so much love and covering you in light, praying this episode has helped you in some way. And if it has, I'd be so grateful if you left a written review sharing how it's impacted your life. It truly lights me up hearing how you are on your way to your breakthrough. And also, please share this episode with another mom who may be struggling to remind her that we are never alone and to help give her that empowerment to take that first step. And be sure to check the show notes for additional ways to connect with me, our motherhood empowerment community, and if and when it feels good to you, learn how we could work together to help you reclaim your power, mama. Thank you. I appreciate all you are and all you do. Sending my love and light.